This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are thankful you chose to be with us this day and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
How does God want me to use my life? Can I really make a positive difference in this world? We're going to take a look at how Jesus answered those questions today, so stay with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We praise you for the grace and truth he has shown in our lives. May our time together this day in your holy word shed light on your will and purpose for our lives. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 13, and these are the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things taught us great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
I want to talk about you today. If you've tasted the grace of God, if you've walked in the light of Jesus Christ, you have a significant calling from God, according to what Jesus tells us in this passage today. And there's an emphasis on that word you. You are, Jesus said. Now, who is this you he's addressing? Jesus is talking to his disciples, according to the earlier part of that chapter, made up of fishermen, perhaps a couple farmers, a tax collector, ordinary folks who have tasted his grace in their lives. And notice the tense of the verb that he uses. You are. It's the present tense. Not you were or you will be, but with me, Jesus says you are. And then what are we? He uses a couple of pictures to describe us as Christ followers. First, he uses this picture. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, what in the world does he mean by that? Salt of the earth. Back then, it's important for us to understand that salt was viewed as a valuable commodity. Governments actually paid soldiers in salt, thus the saying that we know today, he's worth his salt. Or when we're describing someone we really appreciate, she's the salt of the earth. Salt was considered valuable because, first, it brings out the taste in food, doesn't it? It really livens up a piece of steak or a bowl of soup. Any of you who have ever had to go on a no-salt diet know exactly what I'm talking about. Life without salt can get pretty bland. And who doesn't like to sit in a movie theater with a bag of popcorn with a healthy helping of salt upon it? And at the movie theater, they love to put salt on because it'll create a thirst, won't it? So that we'll buy that pop that they're wanting to sell us. So it brings out the taste in food. It creates a thirst. But not only that, salt was a preservative back then. In the ancient world, remember, there was no refrigeration. How does one get the fish to market and keep it from spoiling, or sell one's meat and keep it from rotting without salt? You see, salt was the preservative that was most necessary back in those days to keep food from rotting. There are a couple things, at least here, that Jesus is trying to help us see as he uses these images to describe who we are as his followers. Number one, he seems to be saying, you're valuable. You're valuable in this world. You have an ability to make life better for others and to impact other people's lives for the kingdom of God, to make a difference in the lives of people around you. But being salt also implies that it's necessary that we maintain contact with people. We are not to live in isolation from the world like monks off in a monastery. Instead, we are to be out of the salt shaker and bringing our Jesus joy and Jesus values and Jesus compassion and Jesus character into our world, at work, at home, at school, in our community, wherever we're around other people. We are called to be people who can make life better with those who cross our paths. I came across a story quite a while ago that I saved about a person who was in missionary school, was going to China to do missionary work. She writes, "The very first day of class, the teacher entered the room and without saying a word, walked down every row of students. Finally, still without saying a word, she walked out of the room again. Then a few moments later, she came back and addressed the class. 'Did you notice anything special about me?' she asked them. Nobody could think of anything in particular. Finally, one student finally raised her hand. 'I noticed that you had on a very lovely perfume,' she said. The class chuckled, but the teacher said, 'That was exactly the point. You see, it will be a long time before any of you will be able to speak Chinese well enough to share the gospel with anyone in China. But even before you are able to do that, you can minister the sweet fragrance of Christ to these people by the quality of your lives. It is your lifestyle, lived out among the Chinese people, that will minister Christ Jesus to them long before you are able to say one word to them about having a relationship with Jesus Christ.' Dear brothers and sisters, it's like that with us as well. We may not be eloquent speakers. Unbelievers we encounter will be ministered to, first of all, by the Christ-likeness of our daily lives, if indeed we are Christ-like in our talk and in our actions." Sheldon Van Auken, in his book, Severe Mercy, he was a friend of C.S. Lewis's, wrote this statement that has stayed with me. "The best argument for Christianity is Christians, their joy, their certainty, their completeness. But the greatest argument against Christianity is Christians who are somber, joyless. When Christians are self-righteous and smug and complacent, when they're narrow and repressive, then Christianity dies a thousand deaths. When I think of salt of the earth Christ followers, I think of a friend of mine named Rob. He's a joyful encourager of people, interested in everybody he runs into. When Rob shows up, everything gets livened up in the room. He just brings that with him as he displays this 'I care about you' attitude to everybody around him. I think of Joy Johnson and her little congregation in downtown St. Paul. A little Lutheran church, it's in a very poor neighborhood with a lot of crime, lots of problems. Instead of just huddling amongst themselves and saying, 'Oh, woe is us, we're shrinking,' Joy and her congregation decided to open the doors of that building and to begin to launch a program that would feed those that are homeless, those that are living in poverty. They go out into the streets and give blankets away to people on the street corners. They're making a difference that way. They're making life taste better for the people they encounter. In an even bigger way, I think of William Wilberforce. You've probably heard of him. Back in England in the days of the slavery, he was the voice that spoke out against slavery in England, and he did it on the basis of the gospel. He knew this was against the values of the kingdom of God, and he spoke out. And he did everything in his power to have slavery abolished. And one day, lo and behold, it really happened. We maintained contact with our world then, And that's how we're salt. And then finally, in talking about us being salt, Jesus mentions our need that we always need to be maintaining our distinctiveness as Christ followers. He says, be careful. Don't lose your saltiness. Keep out the impurities, the values of the world that are so twisted. Be different. But no matter what, keep your distinctiveness as my followers. Then Jesus went on to use another image after he talked about us as being salt. He said, you are the light of the world. Someone might question that and say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus is the light of the world. Didn't he say that? Yes, he did. But now we have him telling us as his followers to reflect the light that he's shined on us into our world. The light of his love and his grace and his truth is meant to be shared and not kept under a bushel basket or hidden. Think of what light, a great thing light provides for us. It brings illumination into our world. It makes it possible for us to see clearly. Sometimes we talk about seeing the light. Hank Williams sang a great song, I Saw the Light. And we say to people, let me shed some light on that subject for you so that people can understand the truth. It's a great thing to have light to keep us from tripping in the darkness at night so that we can see the way and get to where we need to be safely. And Jesus said, you know, thinking about lights, he says, nobody has a lamp in their house and lights it up and then covers it. He lets everybody see the light and be helped by it. He says, a city on a hill at night can really be a beautiful thing for people to see, or a hopeful thing as they're trying to make their way to that particular city. They're not hidden, these lights. They're meant to shine, to assist people. Jesus went on to say, in the same way then, like a city on a hill or a light on a lampstand, don't hide the light that I've given you. Don't keep it to yourself. Everybody needs this light, and God wants everyone to have it. So how does one shine for Christ? He goes on to say, let them see your good works. The word used there is kalos in the Greek. It means actions, deeds. What are these good works? What do they look like? Well, Jesus, first of all, had been talking about the Beatitudes before this little section that we have before us. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. They shall see the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for right things in the world. You know, all these things, as we work towards those things, as we show mercy and work towards the world being right, a right place for people to live in, and as we make peace with people in the relationships around us, as we give ourselves away. That's letting your light shine. I think of Sylvia and Don. They're a couple in my congregation. They winter each year down south, but it's a different sort of deal for them. Instead of going down simply to play golf or read some books or look around, they go to this community and they work as volunteers in the various places where there are great needs. They love the work. They're making a difference in other people's lives, and they're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. It's their commitment to Christ that drives this. I ran into another guy, Mike, who's a friend of mine. His mom used to live in a nursing home across the river from where I serve. And I said, Mike, what are you doing over here? Because his mother had passed away years ago. He said, well, I'm retired now, and I come over here a couple times a week and I read to these people and I pray with them and I've gotten to know them. He does this out of his commitment to Christ. He's letting his light shine. I think of Clark and Sue Duffy, another retired couple. have gotten heavily involved in helping poverty-stricken children in the world get an education and the proper diet and a relationship with Jesus Christ through an organization called Compassion. They travel all over the country and even over the globe representing Compassion now and getting people to adopt these kids. I've got a couple of them myself, and we just love hearing from them as they share with us their love for Christ Jesus and their gratitude for the help that's been offered. I think of those folks that show up and serve down at the loaves and fishes bread soup line here in the cities. We have a crew that goes down every month from our church. I mean, there's just all sorts of ways to show your light, whether you're at work or whether you're at home or whether you're in your neighborhood. And all the while, these folks speak up for Jesus. That's what Jesus had in mind. They bring a clear, uncompromising message of the gospel. They always, with their actions, point to Jesus and what he's done for all of us. Lauren Sanney, who was a president of the Navigators, a Christian organization, wonderful, wonderful organization, helping people grow in their knowledge of the Word of God, used to also work with the Billy Graham Association. He said, years ago, when I was with Billy Graham team in a crusade, a businessman came forward one night and received Christ as his Savior. The next Sunday, he went to a church he sometimes attended. After the service, he walked up to one of the leading elders in this church and said, I was at the Billy Graham meeting last week out at the ballpark. I went forward and I received Christ. I heard about it, the elder replied, and I'm so delighted. Then the businessman said, Bill, how long have you and I been associated in business? About 23 years, I think, the elder answered. Have you known Christ as your Savior all that time? The businessman asked. Yes, I have, he answered. Well, I don't remember you ever speaking to me about Christ during those years, that businessman went on to say. I have thought highly of you. In fact, I thought so highly of you that I felt if anyone could be as fine a man as you and not be a Christian, then I didn't need to be a Christian either. Speak up. Show up. Speak up for Christ. That's letting your light shine. Why do we do these things? Jesus said, here's why. So that these others will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. They'll see and they'll give glory not to you, but to your Father in heaven. God getting glory from other people. Other people turning into God praisers and worshipers, trusting Christ for salvation. That, my dear friends, is our ultimate purpose as followers of Jesus Christ, getting God glory. God gets the glory. If you've tasted his grace in your life, then you have a significant calling upon your life to be a positive, God-pleasing influencer in the lives of the people that God has placed around you so that they may see your good works, that they may hear the good news and give glory to your Father in heaven. On June 5th, 1910, American short story writer O. Henry spoke his last words, and this is what he said. Turn up the lights. I don't want to go home in the dark. As lights in the world, our mission is to make sure no one ever does. Let us commit ourselves to letting our light shine before others so that our Heavenly Father gets the glory. Amen. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Go in peace and shine for Him. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May your heart continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported entirely by our listening audience. Through your gifts and prayers, people around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation. Some members of our audience have chosen to become broadcast sponsors, giving a gift of $100 or more. You can call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH to find out more about becoming a broadcast sponsor, or you can direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the Internet. Our website also features many other spiritual tools, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Please visit us online at christiancrusaders.org to experience this program again or discover the many other resources we offer. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders.